Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hot stuff.
And welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. We are officially on Fansmanship.com, I think numero 60, right? Right on?
Yeah, I think this is number 60.
Number 60. So we've come a long way, and we had number 50 a few months back, a couple months ago.
Do we retire at 65? Or
there's no more Social Security. We're going to kick this off right now, talking a little bit NBA, a little bit about baseball, perhaps. And
Hold on real quick.
What?
We're all together again.
Oh yeah,
this is becoming like a rarefied thing. So Luke, it's really good to see you.
It is good to see you too.
And Andy.
And Andy too.
What's going on?
Andy's powering through.
Tino.
It's good to see Tino and Lemon, who loves you.
And Lemon, who loves me.
My dog hates Luke.
Your dog just hates any man.
Any man that doesn't have a dog or a wife.
Or any man who's like larger than you, Owen.
Are you larger than me?
Yes.
Really?
She's scared of me. I know that.
Andy, is Luke larger than me? I don't think so.
How much weigh a couple pounds more?
Come on, I got broader shoulders than
you. I go 233.
Oh, we're actually pretty close then.
I'm trying to drop some lbs.
I didn't know you really are. Are you 233?
Oh yeah.
Really? Yeah. I would have guessed like 210.
I know. Yeah, I carry it well.
You
if I was 210, I would look amazing if I was 210.
I'm gonna refrain.
I'd have the physique of a statue.
A physique of a hawk.
Of a Greek statue.
A physique of a lizard.
There's a crazy lizard out in front of my house, but I digress.
Hey, there's been a lot of talk going on right now about Jason Collins, former center for the Stanford Cardinal, and then center for about six other NBA teams, the Celtics being one of them, and then numerous others. I think the Wizards last. Mm-hmm. He's brothers with Jaren Collins, who is his twin brother. They both played for the Cardinals, like I said. Both pros. I think Jaren's actually out of the league now. Jason is a free agent. He came out recently out of the closet, I guess you could say, and announced he is a gay man. Yeah. He's homosexual. And anybody have an opinion on that? I mean, it's obviously been the hot thing in the media right now. I think
the media definitely was waiting for it. It's not really a story unless there's like a guy, with a journey. And that's kind of what they've been waiting for. There's other gay athletes like the WNBA has a ton. Brittany Griner, who's the number one pick. Mm-hmm. There was a really good article on Grantland recently. It was called like the quiet queering of pro sports or something like that. It was really good alliteration. I think the idea is societally, is that a word? Societally?
Yeah.
Within society, sense. I think the great thing about it is whatever I think a lot of people who are responding and it's kind of a really good thing is just yeah cool whatever like
I think there's a lot of a lot of people in the
I haven't
gay,
heard a lot of negative the, like yeah like the, feedback
but I would say that there is some fear there because there's a huge community in America I think that maybe have opinions about homosexuality and the gay and lesbian community, we could probably attest to that, So perhaps we could look at Jason Collins in some ways as maybe not heroic, but
a pioneer,
I guess, in a way.
In my article this week, I said, listen, a lot of people will compare him with like Jackie Robinson. He's no Jackie Robinson.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
And I said that, everybody could tell Jackie Robinson was black.
Sure.
It wasn't something he had to like. Come out
sure.
about right, and because of that, because it's not as, and because it's not as much of a black and white issue, and I don't mean the pun there or whatever, but
because it's
not as much of a black and white thing, you can't just look at somebody and tell. It's going to take a lot of different people, I think, a lot different amounts of time to like come to terms with it. And I think people within sports are going to come to terms with it a lot differently, and in a more nuanced way than you ever could about the color barrier.
I don't sure. I don't think that it's going to end up being that big a deal. It's going to have its hot topic time for about a week, like it is now, and then I think it's just going to kind of not be a big deal, and people aren't going to really think twice about it, and it's just going to be another just another player, just like he is. So.
But now that's kind of an outside perspective, but what about on the inside? I mean, we do know that, you know, historians and sociologists have found that, unfortunately, the African-American community is slightly homophobic. They tend to be. So on the inside, he could be facing, if he is picked up by a team this offseason, some backlash, perhaps from teammates or icing, I guess you could say. Maybe not verbal backlash, but, you know, it could be for some people an awkward situation. And
yeah, you know, every generation that comes up is more and more tolerant, or whatever word you want to use, is more and more cool about people being different in some way. You know, whether it's the guys who are kind of dressing like Metro dressing, like, you know, there's a lot of guys after games who will like wear the glasses.
Like Andy Roddick's kind of Metro.
Andy Roddick, Russell Westbrook, Dwayne Wade, you know, a lot of the stars in the NBA already, you know, in post game.
With the skinny pants.
Are emulating kind of that culture anyway.
It's a more feminine masculinity, you know?
Right, right. And so I think because of that, and that's kind of an indicator that things are becoming more. What I wrote is it's the perfect time for him to do this. And some people, and some movements are matching. Some, like Jackie Robinson, was a little bit ahead of his movement. He was in the 40s. It wasn't until like the 60s really that things started to really move in a really positive direction, you know, as far as equality, race equality in the United States. Other things are behind the times, like black coaches in the NFL is way behind the times.
Sure.
Black coaches in college football, way behind the times. I think this situation with Jason Collins kind of fits right in there, to use a Big Lebowski term. It really does. It fits right in there with his time and place. And I think the timing of it really, really made a lot of sense.
So you think the announcement was necessary?
So this was your question. Is an announcement necessary, or does somebody...
It's inevitable.
Historians for a long time have theorized that there's some on one side of the camp that say, you know, in order to normalize something that may be different to the societal norm, might be just to, in essence, not announce anything, just be who you are.
Right, right.
In it through society, and not treat it as if it's something abnormal by, say, announcing it or making it a big deal. And that's a fair argument.
From an outsider's perspective, yes, that's when you're going to know it's really normal. Like, it's the most normal when nobody says anything about it. So, like, it's totally normal for an NFL player to get in trouble with the law because nobody says anything. I mean, yeah, it runs across the newswire, but nobody cares, right? When they get in trouble with the law, it's a normal thing for an NFL player to get arrested. I'm using a random, you know, outside of the norm thing, right? Because it's not a normal thing for you or me to get arrested, but the NFL players do get arrested disproportionately, right? When it becomes normal, it'll be something that people just accept, like you said. Now, that's the general thing. That's the general concept there. With this particular person in this particular case, he's been hiding that for, you know, his whole life. He's 34, I think.
Yeah.
He's been hiding it for his whole life. If this was the way that this guy who's really eloquent wanted to do that, he said he's okay with it, but I thought it was as thoughtful and as eloquent and as nuanced as far as his comments in the Sports Illustrated article as you could get, and I really think it was the appropriate person at the appropriate time.
Now let me ask you guys, Jason's a 12-year journeyman. He's played on 6 different NBA teams. He is presently a free agent.
Where's Jaren? Where's his brother?
I think Jaren's actually out of the league.
He does commentary for college basketball.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Reason A, does a team pick up Jason because they want that journeyman veteran? Or maybe plan B, you pick up Jason because it makes you look like the cutting-edge NBA team that picks up the homosexual basketball player.
Right. And
what do you think about
that? And your fans embrace that depending on what city you're in?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a Dan Patrick Show question this morning, actually. It was, does it make him more or less likely to get picked up?
Mm-hmm.
By an NBA team, and I think it was like 57% that it would be more
likely. I think he's more likely, absolutely.
It's interesting. And so maybe it's a great career move, too. I don't know. I think it was taking a chance, though.
I don't think it had anything to do with that, though.
I don't think that's why he did it. No, I know. Yeah, yeah. But it was taking a chance, certainly, as far as his career goes, being a free agent.
Yeah, I think he was trying to oust that opinion. In the letter he wrote, he said he's been known as a pro's pro, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So he has a good name, you know, along the...
Well, aside from the NBA community. He's still quite serviceable. He can come off the bench and get you 10 rebounds in 15 minutes.
He's a big body. You know? I mean, he's what?
He said, I have 6 fouls to give.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Didn't he say he had most fouls in 2006 or something?
Yeah, and then he's fouled out in like less than 6 minutes and like all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I mean, so he goes, I'm not proud of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he knows that's what he has to do to win. And I think that's the thing, you know, when you're talking about teammates and guys accepting you, if you're sacrificing on the court for those guys, I think whether you're talking about the NBA or whatever sport, guys are going to respect that. I have to believe that.
I will say that probably the area of the letter that I enjoyed the most was the part when he brought up really who he is as a player, that he's always been really aggressive and physical, and he's a big man, and you know, he played against Shaq and went after Shaq, and I think he was making a really strong point there that we have perceptions of gay men, and those perceptions might have to do with a femininity attached to them. But here Jason was saying, look, man, you know, and we're talking about normalizing things, and Jason said, look, I'm about, you know, according to the main consensus of masculinity in this country, I'm about as masculine as they come.
About as normal as I could be.
As normal as of a man as I could be. So
I think it's interesting that three guys who I'm aware of in basketball who've come out really clearly, John Amici, who was a power forward center.
That's right.
And he was like from Britain too. So
it's interesting too how it was like Jason Collins, this happened at like the right moment, because I remember when John Amici came out, it wasn't quite the same news.
Well, and it was after he was retired officially.
Yeah, but you
were
still 2 or 3 years some after. Kind of news would
was news, you know, for a while. But so there's John Amici, and then there's a guy named Will Sheridan who was a big man for Villanova.
That's right.
Who came out, and I heard him on Jim Rome's show, I don't know, a couple years ago. And he's like...
That's right.
Yeah, and so he was a big man as well, like a power forward center.
Yeah, he was a good... he was a pretty good college player,
too. Yeah, right. And then you have Jason Collins now. I think it's interesting that it's the big guys that are coming out. I mean, you would think that, you know,
it questions that norm.
Within the context of the NBA, there's got to be guards that are, you know, that might be gay too.
Sure.
Just looking at the percentages, who knows? But it's interesting that it's been that the big men are the ones that have been comfortable enough to come out. I don't know what that means.
Sure. Well, based on numbers alone, you know, there's a lot more gay pro athletes that haven't come out.
Yeah. Especially like in the NFL, dude. Like how many?
Wow. Can you imagine that?
Well, so that's the next thing I want to ask you guys. Like, is it going to be different depending on the sport? Everybody said the NFL is going to be the last, the last bastion. I disagree. The NHL is going to be the last bastion.
You think so? I think the NFL is going to be the last bastion.
You think?
Well, I mean, it'll be neck and neck with them and the NHL.
I think the NHL is like much more.
I just can't
like
imagine.
Locker room weirdness. Like,
can you imagine the NFL coming in and?
Yeah, because you're one of 60, right? In the NFL, you're one of 60. It's all about winning. That's all they ever talk
NHL,
about. Guys are replaceable.
Yeah.
NHL, you're one of 20. It's more like a basketball team, but the mentality is more like football, where, you know, you got to be willing to do whatever it takes. Like, you know, guys get their teeth knocked out. Sidney Crosby last week got his jaw broken and a bunch of teeth knocked out. And they're like, word is he'll be back soon. It's like, no, he won't.
That guy in the Kings last night got, he was laying on the ground and the guy's skate hit him right here, split his nose.
Right in between his eyes.
Right in between his eyes. Oh. And then he went to the locker room, stitched him up, and he was out about 10 minutes later.
So it's kind of interesting what you're saying. It's like it's a more aggressive sport might, you know, model an indifference
to... So you
to
think...
Except
it's also aggressive sports
and it's
are
also slightly different
less
culture,
conducive
right?
to...
And I'm not saying Canadians are more or less anything. I just think that it's a slightly differently cultured sport.
There's maybe a different history attached
right,
to it.
You know? Right. It took a long time for black players in the NHL to even become the norm, and there still aren't that many, right, Andy? You're the hockey guy.
What's that?
There's still very few black players in the NHL.
Oh, there's a fair share. I'd say it's probably
maybe one a team?
3 to 5%, something like that. 1 to 2 a team. Yeah.
I mean, when you figure 1/10 of the American population is African American, right? So that's not too bad.
There you go.
But now, so is baseball the most... you know, gay-friendly, perhaps? Larger sport in America?
I don't know. I think basketball.
Team sport?
Yeah. Basketball, baseball. I think there have been a lot of gay players in baseball.
Me too.
I don't know who, but
you don't want to speculate. But.
Yeah, but like, there's a lot of guys who, I mean, you could picture like a pitcher who just like hangs out and like pitches once a week,
so keeps he's to himself, out of the,
keeps yeah. to himself, out of the fray.
Maybe he doesn't even like, he's not really in the locker room much.
Or, yeah, exactly. I mean, you could totally be like a low key guy.
It's possible.
And be in the major leagues. There's a lot of guys who are, you know, really to themselves, I think.
Yeah. Well, speaking of baseball, we should get to some, at least talk a little baseball.
You want to?
Please, let's not talk some baseball.
You want to take a break for a second, Luke, and come back? Or you want to sure. get going? You want to keep talking about it?
Let's go ahead and take a break and we'll come back.
All right, we'll be back.
For me to lift up, stressing me out, it's hard to keep my head up, but I ain't giving in today. There's gotta be a better way, gotta be a better way to play the game before it plays us the same. I know this getaway, let gravity decay and float on my friend.
And hey guys, we're back here at the fansmanship.com podcast. We're going to talk a little bit.
Welcome back to the fansmanship.com podcast.
And we're going to talk some baseball. Hey, we're a month in, or more than a month now. It's May the 1st. And
Mayday.
Yeah, and baseball is
Uno de Mayo.
Is as diverse as ever. Teams aren't playing well who we thought would play well.
Wait. Speaking of Uno de Mayo, a very belated happy birthday to Mr. Stevens.
Yes, sir.
With the big 2-5?
Big 3-3.
3-3.
And on the mañana, it'll be the big 3-2 for yours truly.
Threes are wild.
On the mañana, el dos de mayo.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The big Trentitos.
Really?
See.
I forgot about that. Your birthday was right by mine.
You're getting old, brother.
Very old.
What are you doing? What are you going to do for it? Just be old?
Go to work, come home. Maybe take a bike ride. I might try to ride 32 miles, actually, on my bike. That would be good.
Really?
I got my bike kind of adjusted, so maybe I'll have to go up.
Yeah.
Up Perfumo.
Up Perfumo Canyon.
Uh-huh. Maybe.
Be the man. Dominate it.
Pre-Fumo Canyon.
My calves are pre-Fumo.
Pre-Fumo.
Yeah. Burn those calves.
We had quite a discussion on that
one. My calves are totally ripped.
They are?
I think I see a bum in the creek. Made you look.
That was awesome.
Anyway, baseball. He was really excited about the prospect of a bump.
He was way more excited than doing this podcast. He was way more excited than that.
All right.
Maybe it's because the Dodgers are only 500. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and they're 2.5 back.
We're on 2.5 back.
So for how crappy they've been.
I know, but we don't talk games behind
and
them.
And all injuries.
For Grinke being hurt. For Hanley just coming back yesterday.
He looked good, by the way.
Yeah,
I see. I traded him away.
He hit a homer last night in his second game back.
He looked really good.
And for Cruz being as bad as he's been, having to depend on Sellers and Uribe, the Dodgers have kind of
500. We'll take it.
Do you know Uribe has the highest walk rate in the National League?
How that happens, I don't know. Once again, baseball being weird. It's just baseball's unexplainable. It's a mystery.
It's because he walks everywhere. He doesn't run.
Oh.
500. That's a good one. That was good.
So, Luke, I want to ask you about the Angels, man. They're really,
what do you want to ask me? You want to ask me what they do well? Nothing.
Is it Andy's fault? So, in spring training,
sure.
Mike Trout's fault. Trying to get a bunch of practice in, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to practice bunting. And Andy's... We're sitting in the first row behind the...
Gotcha.
The,
seat one. I was in seat one. Row A, seat one.
Row A, seat one.
Best seat in the house.
Section one. And so Andy, you know, is getting on. We didn't come here to see you bunt. What are you doing? You know, and so the next three times up, Trout practiced bunting. Those are three repetitions that if Andy hadn't goaded him into messing with Andy's head, that's three repetitions in spring that Mike Trout would have had. Yeah, I'm going to bunt every time just to screw with this guy. Is it Andy's fault that Mike Trout hasn't started off the season as people had hoped?
No. But it's not Mike Trout's issue.
Andy wipes the sweat off his forehead.
No, I mean, you know, okay, Mike Trout was a phenom last year. I mean, he's going to be a normal ball player. He's hitting like 281. I mean, he's not like hitting 200. He had a nice game yesterday at 3 RBIs, 2-for-4, double and a triple. So, I mean, he's maybe not hitting 330 like he was last year after his first month. I look at guys more like Josh Hamilton who are hitting like 214.
He's killing me.
He's striking out every other at bat.
Is it the first year? I mean, because Pujols did this last year too.
Mm-hmm.
Is just trying to get used to.
I think he's pressing now. He came out and I don't think he'd lie about this. He came out and said that he has a hard time seeing when it gets close to dusk, around that hour.
Has he always?
Twilight. Everyone
Excuse
else,
me, twilight. Has he always?
Yeah, you know, probably.
And what's the difference?
I think he's pressing. Yeah. He looks like he is up there. I saw a game last week. My sister and I were down south, and I had the pleasure of seeing you pitch for the Rangers.
I pitched for the Rangers?
Me? I was pitching?
Yes, you guys. You Darvish.
Why is his name Darvish? You Darvish fools. Is Darvish a Japanese name?
Yeah.
It is?
Anyways, he...
they don't use words like that. ISH?
I don't know, dude.
Japanese
I don't
language.
Look it up.
Okay.
I don't want to overinflate... You know, Darvish, you know, as far as being a pitcher now, but that was the greatest pitching performance I've seen.
Oh, you were at that U game when he struck out like
11 and 6 innings.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw him just, I mean, he made Hamilton look silly.
Yeah.
I threw a 75 mile per hour curveball, and Hamilton was so early, he just about chucked his bat into the, you know, into the first row.
I think one of the best pitch games I've ever seen was Jolys Chacín, not to digress.
That's our UFC
against the Dodgers.
You're definitely digressing.
Sorry, go ahead.
But you know, I think people have the tendency, and this happens every year, to get overly excited about guys having slow starts. Baseball's a game that a lot of guys have slow starts to start the year. And then you look up in September and you completely forget about them and they have 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. Well,
and I think Pujols
is number
a great example.
Yeah, exactly.
Last year in the first half of the year, he hit like 220 and he might have had about 6 home runs. The second half of the year, he was the old Pujols again.
Yeah,
he hit like 325 or 330 and had like 22 home runs.
And how's he doing so far this year? He's hitting good, right?
His average is low, but it's early. But yeah, he's got great power numbers again.
Yeah, which is important.
Yeah.
For the Dodgers, our team across town, you know, like I said, everything's been going kind of crappy, but they're still 500, so they're fighting, they're kicking, they're kind of getting through it. Guys like Mark Ellis, Jerry Hairston Jr., actually, the guys from the Red Sox trade are playing really, really well. All four of them are making big contributions. You're talking about
Punto, definitely.
Adrian Gonzalez, who is the centerpiece of that.
I hate Punto.
Gonzalez is a
slide to first base trade. A few more times, Punto.
It's like, I can't stand that guy.
We got it. You like to hustle, okay? We got it. You can stop doing that now.
The ball's like to the shortstop. He's playing 30, like dives.
You and your Italian nose can stop diving into first.
Oh, come on now. Let's not throw out
your schnoz.
Yeah,
the schnoz.
So Punto
Beckett.
Punto and Beckett. Just, Beckett's pitching good.
I just can't get over his last name, Punto.
I like it. It's Beckett's.
Be creative if you're a man.
Beckett's.
You think of all of our. I don't know how to put it politically correct. All of our Dodger fans going, come on, Punto, let's go, Punto.
Punto, punto.
And the
punto.
And the podcast has reached a new low. No, it's punto is point.
Yeah.
So yes. Punto com is here. Is it, you know, when you're saying a web address in Spanish.
Punto.
Doble, doble, doble. That yahoo.com.
We should do a commercial for Fansmanship with that.
And Espanol.
Who was the fourth one? Who was the fourth one in the Red Sox trade that you were? Saying
Carl Crawford.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So
I forgot
let
about
me just
that
take,
he was part of that.
I'm gonna say I called it right now. What did I say about Carl Crawford?
He's been on quite a streak of I called it, I'll tell you.
I called it.
Yeah, I hate to say admit, it. Oh wait, no, I don't. Admit.
Remember the beginning of the basketball season. For some reason, I think a bunch of guys are gonna get hurt all year long. What happens?
It wasn't that hard.
I think you jinxed him.
I don't think it was that hard.
I basically said it, but because I'm not a Laker fan, it wasn't taken serious.
But Crawford has been really good. Everybody thought, oh, he's washed up. He'll never be a productive player again. Come on, the guy sat out for a year, almost a year and a half straight with different injuries. His shoulder, he made sure it was right before the season started. He got to spring training like at 6 a.m. every day to work on his shoulder. He's in great shape. He's stealing bases. He's doing everything that you could ask the guy to do.
See, that's what I'm surprised that he's actually stealing bases. I didn't know if that would be part of his
game
coming
back. He looks a little bit bigger, but he's fast, man. He's still fast. He's still dynamic. He's hit two leadoff home runs already. He's got like four home runs on the year.
He's pretty easy. He's a solid 4-2 guy. He doesn't have much of an arm in the outfield, but everything else.
On a lot of teams, he'd be a top one or two player. On the Dodgers, he's going to be somebody who really they depend on, even if he's not the top guy.
Well, that's what we needed, was that guy at the top of the lineup, I think, really.
Yeah, it's huge, that spark plug. And so Adrian Gonzalez has been Adrian Gonzalez.
He's fantastic.
He hasn't had a ton of power, but he's such a good
hitter.
He's not
going to get that power back, I don't think.
Yeah, he's just such a good gap hitter.
He's the line drive hitter.
Uh-huh. And I, you know, anybody's better after living through like 6 years of James Loney. I just love anybody who doesn't grind in a double plays twice
a
game.
He'll hit 25. I think that's a good
20-25. Sure,
part 20.
Here's the thing that they have to have, though. They have to have a lot of guys hit 20-25. We talked about this last year.
Yeah.
Because Ethier's got to get there. I think Crawford's going to get there. I think you have to also have Kemp, who hasn't hit any yet.
No, he hit one.
Yeah. Okay. But Kemp's a big question mark for me because he was the centerpiece.
What's going on with Kemp?
He has a torn labrum last year, and so he's coming back from it. And that shoulder, that right shoulder, to get his bat through, he's been pulling off the ball because he's swinging off with his left arm. And they've talked about him not being able to drive it as much to right center. Maybe, that's where he hit all his homers.
There's also another idea here. I mean, maybe Rihanna and Chris are having some problems. Rihanna's back in town. Maddie K's tired.
Did I say we'd reached a new low before? Now we have.
Again. Maddie K's tired.
Again.
That's not a low.
Otrevez. Just...
Zip.
Okay.
Speaking of Ethier, have you heard anything about the... there were some rumors going around that he might be traded to... I think Texas was interested.
So here's... Yeah, the And I don't know if it was even from anybody. I don't even know if it had a source, but...
well, then where'd it come from?
It came from Dodger fans getting super pumped about maybe getting Ian Kinsler. Because Ian Kinsler's going to be on the market at some point. And the Rangers probably aren't going to be able to keep him because they have a really good shortstop second baseman.
Ethier and Uribe for Kinsler and Beltre. Done. Signed on the dotted line.
Yeah, I think it was going to be like Ethier and one of their plethora of starting pitchers, which is kind of a joke now, for like, you know, Kinsler, and they'd probably throw in like a
Alexi Gondo would be a good pickup, some guy you can bring out of the bullpen.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to fleece the Rangers, though. They're still competing, unlike some other teams in the AL West. What's up with Oakland? How do they stay good every year, dude, with no freaking players?
It's Reddick's hated ginger beard. I can't stand Reddick. I have nightmares of his beard.
Yeah?
Just his beard all over.
Josh Reddick, is that his name?
Yeah. Just his beard all over.
Not JJ?
He just like...
What if
like,
JJ and Josh molded into one football/basketball player? You don't know.
I have these dreams where I wake up and his beard is staring me in the face and just laughing. I don't know how to explain the A's. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. What's their deal?
It's like, oh God, and Cespedes is just annoying.
He's really good.
He's hitting like 220.
Is it a beard like that?
A little bit like that.
So I got to ask you guys one more thing. What's that?
My friend Eric.
That's pretty classic.
Is that Forbes?
No, he wore that on... it's not his real beard. He wore that for St. Patrick's Day.
Nice. I got to ask one more question. We saw Puig in spring training, Andy. Dude got arrested for speeding.
I saw that. In Arkansas, playing for the Travelers.
Arkansas or Chattanooga, Tennessee?
Is it Chattanooga?
That's where Chattanooga lookouts are in Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Same difference.
So this is why he's in spring training, right? This is why he's in the minors still, right? I mean, things like this are the reason.
Like, how old is he, like 20?
He's like 21, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's why he's in the minors. I think that's enough said. Yeah. Like, he's amazing. He's an amazing hitter. He's got amazing
power.
So amazing.
The more and more amazing. He acts that way, the more and more it is a stave of execution for Ethier because, you know, when Puig's ready, he's up and he's playing right field.
You think right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Where else is he going to play?
Left.
Where's Crawford going to play?
Well, then, so Crawford gets healthy, maybe you flip him too or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Crawford's not a right fielder by any stretch.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying... If you flip Ethier, then yeah, I mean, I feel like Crawford's probably got more value right this second.
What about flipping Ethier to the Marlins for Jean Carlos?
Yeah, they're not going to do that. No. Marlins aren't going to do that. Marlins would want Ethier and Zach Lee for that.
Give those two for him.
You know who Zach Lee is?
I do know who Zach Lee is.
Yeah, the Dodgers' top pitching prospect.
Yeah, but I mean,
the way Dodgers pitchers are going down.
How many
series do the Dodgers
seen?
Have against the Padres so, yet left this year?
They can't afford to trade.
They can't afford to trade minor league pitchers.
You're probably right.
They have to face Carlos Quentin for like 10 more times this year.
There you go.
And he's going to get hit at least once.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think quietly in the clubhouse they're like, hey, who's going to bean Quentin next time he's up?
I vote Belisario.
No, I'm saying for real. I mean, who?
Yeah, I don't know if it's next time. It might be next year. It might be next year.
Someone's going to do this. Someone's going to do this for on behalf of Zach Greinke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're going to nail him good.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll go after his head. Maybe.
No, not his head.
Just right in the middle of the back. That's the spot that really
but,
hurts.
And this time, Kemp's going to be like, Kemp's going to creep up to around second base.
So if that fool, if that fool tries to get hardcore, if that fool tries to get hardcore, Kip's gonna be standing in front of the guy going like, "What now?"
They're gonna have like a little sign, like usually the catcher just give the middle finger, and as soon as Kip sees that sign, he's on a dead sprint before the pitch is even let go.
Well, I don't know if you guys
the pitch isn't even let go yet. He's running full sprint.
I don't know if you guys saw what I.
It's
what
called
I
wrote. The Rihanna Dash.
So I wrote an article about that. About Greinke getting hurt, and I'm still kind of bitter at the Padres about the whole thing. A lot of them were acting pretty classless, but I know a guy who was a catcher in the Pac-10, and he told a story about Carlos Quentin and trying to hit him, and his pitcher went inside a couple times, ended up accidentally walking him instead of hitting him.
Sure.
And he said the coach was really mad or something like that. But, you know, it kind of shows that Carlos Quentin's a guy that people have been trying to bean since he was in college.
He's a punk.
Possibly. I don't know him. I don't know the guy.
Look, here at Fansmanship, we say it straight. He's probably a punk.
He's a punk and he crowds the plate. Two plus two equals four.
And the fact that he crowds the plate...
Yeah.
He's going to get hit.
Yeah, and he's the most hit guy in the majors. And for him to charge Greinke and... whatever on a 3-2 pitch and
why didn't Greinke go Chan Ho Park and just hi look at just
you know, little see, I agree. He should
you're like, wearing cleats right kick him
I don't know
and by the time he tries to get on top of you your catcher's gonna grab him and it's over
him at Chan Ho Park
I think it's really clear that it wasn't on purpose because AJ Ellis would have known if it was on purpose and he would have tackled him he was taken off guard by Quentin charging AJ Ellis didn't know that was happening anyway
who knows.
All that being said, the Dodgers have to face the punk. Let's go back. The Dodgers have to face the Padres like 12 more times this
year. Who's going
to
beat him?
And so they can't afford to trade Zach Lee in order to get Giancarlo Stanton.
Got you.
Done. Wow, look at me come back.
Wow.
You came back around. Wow. It was like a novelist coming back. Yeah, full circle. Hey, guys, I was talking to a person at the Angels game, and you guys have probably had this experience, and I love this about baseball. It was my sister's very first baseball game.
Which sister?
Camille.
Uh-huh.
And she was just into it. She was like, okay, this is the experience. And she was asking me questions. It was just cool, you know? And we started talking to just these random fans. I mean, just these random people. I mean, you guys know how it is at a baseball game. You just kind of start talking.
Oh, I try to get as many high fives as possible.
And you don't even, and most of the time, you never know their name. That's kind of the coolest part about it. You never know each other's names. You just talk.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was talking to this guy who was sitting next to me, and he brought up a good point. He said, you know, we were talking about how poorly, Hamilton's been playing. Uh-huh. And he said, I just don't know how these clubs can continue to pay these salaries because baseball just, in my opinion, he was kind of a non-fan. He was there with his girlfriend. He was an Angels fan. He said, I don't even really like baseball. To me, baseball's boring. Now, I've been listening. I've read a few good articles of late about how baseball is really just not very popular right now with kids ages like 8 to 14. I mean... Is this kind of silently something that's happening in our society? Has baseball become boring?
It's always going to be enough of a niche sport where it's going to be able to sustain itself at the level that it is.
I think there's enough of a history there where there's going to always be fans?
Sure. And here's the thing. When there is that money at the top, there's a lot of guys that are driven enough to get there, too. If money's even just a motivation, there's enough of a feeder. No. Baseball has the biggest feeder system of any sport in the world besides soccer.
But I'm not necessarily talking about just contracts here. Let's kind of get away from that.
Talking about like minor leagues, right?
No, yeah. I'm just saying, you know, he was making a point. He was just saying like, how long can baseball sustain this level when, you know, he was just saying, it's like, in my opinion, it's like, even from my perspective, baseball's boring. It's been the same camera angle for years. Yeah. You know, the other sports have all these different camera angles. It's more exciting. Yeah. It's more entertainment.
Well, that's not a guy that understands baseball.
And I agree. Right. So. But is that becoming more normal? Yeah. Are people not understanding baseball?
Well, here's the
us
thing
right
about,
here. Yeah. Played it growing up. We love baseball. Yeah. But could that possibly happen in 20, 25, 30 years where you have a whole crop of people who just don't get baseball?
It's possible. And I also think the same would be with football. I think football is headed in that direction with all the head injury stuff. I think you're going to find less and less youth of our generation. Our generation's kids are going to play a lot less football than our generation did. That being said, I think with baseball, there's 162 games a year. And when we were growing up, there might have been 13 channels early in our childhood. And so one of those channels was a baseball game, whether it was the Braves, even if there were like 30 channels. Andy, right? I mean, the Braves was a team that you watched
the
all the time.
Yeah, they're on TV.
And the Dodgers. Yeah. So you could either watch the Braves or the Dodgers. And it was one of 30. Now it's one of like 600 channels, but it's still on, and it's still on a lot. And what I'm saying is that for a lot of people, during baseball season, the middle of the summer, you sit down, you know, at 7 at night, and there's not a lot on TV in the summertime except for baseball. And it's one of the reasons why they can continue to pay guys that much money, because when you get down to it, there's 162 opportunities to sell commercials during the baseball season. 162 games. There's predictable commercials every inning, every half inning. There's a 2-minute commercial break or whatever it is. It happens like clockwork every single inning. You know you're going to get a number of commercials. It has the most commercials of any sport, and it has the most games of any sport. And so it's by far the most lucrative, especially in big markets like the Dodgers, is why they are able to continue to pay people. So I think people are going to maintain being fans, and they're going to be able to pay the top players that much because whether people are playing it or not, they're going
to
be fans
of it. Okay, but in order for advertising to be lucrative, you have to have a fan base to watch. And the point is that if you don't have anybody watching, that's the point of a commercial is how many people do you draw the ratings watching the game,
but the one,
seeing the commercial.
The one thing that you cannot TiVo is live sports, and baseball is a live sport. You can't TiVo it. Well, you can, but
I record sports.
It's just concerning.
What are you talking about?
It's the one thing that it's up on the internet. A lot of people say that like live sports is the one thing. If you don't want to know what the score of a sports event was, it's really hard.
It's hard to avoid it.
Whereas like you could record, I don't know, what's a good Game of Thrones and watch it the next day and it's no problem.
It's just concerning, you know, to hear that.
Well, I also think that you might be missing something that is a part of baseball fans that go to games is that baseball is the most, how do I put this?
Nuanced
attended game by people who don't necessarily get it or whatever. Let's go to a baseball game.
It's more
game,
for the experience,
you know? Right? You know, people who don't understand basketball or football generally don't go. I mean, because that's, you know, once every
show me a guy who's gone to a baseball week, game and watch every pitch
every day. You know, every day. So there's a lot of people that don't get the game that just go because they're part of a group that's going to a baseball game.
Yeah, show me a guy who's watched a baseball game and watched every single pitch.
Right.
I mean, if we get more people like that. You can imagine youngsters aren't going to play the game.
Oh.
Therefore, the talent level could be at.
We'll see. Yeah, I think
it was just interesting. Yeah. It was an interesting conversation with a no-named guy that I was sitting next to.
Yeah, and especially in the inner city, it's been something that has been a big.
Well, that's the toughest part because equipment's so expensive. You know, getting a field
insurance, expensive, maintaining a
glove,
field,
a bat, balls. You know, basketball, you just grab a ball, find a hoop.
Right.
You know, so
right. Yep, and football, you just grab a ball and throw it around.
Speaking of basketball, we should close with a little playoff talk. Huh?
NBA, yeah.
Shall we?
We shall.
NBA.
So I got to say, guys, the Warriors are fun to watch.
The Warriors and
Nuggets series is like when the Warriors used to play the Mavericks
back
in the day. It's like
Barnum and Bailey versus what's the name?
Circus Vargas.
Yeah, Circus Vargas. There you go.
Which was Johnny's nickname back in the day.
I tell you what, guys. Yeah, and I agree, Owen. Warriors. Steph Curry, in a matter of 5 games, from my perspective, has gone from a good point guard or a good guard, just period, to
kind of a combo, yeah.
Really, just a top tier guard,
top 5 point guard,
maybe better.
Yeah,
I mean, you could argue he's got more of an effect on the game than even a guy like Rajon Rondo, who could be argued top 3 or 4 point guard. So
Chris Paul, Rondo, yeah, that I don't know anybody else who's even in.
The stuff that guy's doing single handedly, pretty special.
Yeah, so I want to contrast two teams. Of course, I want to bring it back to the Lakers.
Him and Klay Thompson might be the
next big thing.
But this is about the Warriors too.
Okay.
So you contrast two franchises that have changed leadership in the last like 2 to 3 years. The Warriors that got sold to their new owner and brought in Mark Jackson and have a stable coach. They didn't make the playoffs last year, but they stayed stable. They have good young players that they've invested in and have been able to build up to a team that you know, that's a solid team, a playoff team.
The Bay Area needs that. I mean, the Warriors haven't been good in a long time.
And without the Kings, it's a big deal. So contrast that with a team like the Lakers, who have also changed leadership in the last 2 to 3 years. Jerry Buss, in the last years of his life, wasn't running that team, really.
No.
It was his son. And you can see the decline of one team and the rise of another. And the Warriors are built to last, much like the Thunder.
Absolutely.
And the Lakers are going to have to swallow hard at some point here. And and take their lumps. I digress talking about the Lakers because the Warriors are really exciting and they're the ones that are still playing. But I think it's a really interesting West Coast juxtaposition between those two teams. And the Clippers somewhere in the middle, probably.
You know, and I wrote that article about 3 months ago about the Warriors, and there were a lot of people. I mean, I had about six or seven folks on there, fans and other people who really admired the Warriors. I mean, what they're doing. Mark Jackson's really turned that team around.
And the Warriors logo, like as far as gear goes, it's cool.
It is cool.
Like the city, like that.
Actually,
that
their colors on their jerseys are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's a legit.
I saw a kid wearing a Steph Curry jersey the other day, and I went, man, that's kind of a cool jersey.
Not to go kind of like, and again, this is like it goes to the earlier conversation we had. That stuff matters now.
It does matter.
It didn't matter in the 80s. Who cares that the Nuggets jerseys showed like the city and they were like orange and purple gold? I don't even know.
They're kind of like the basketball version of the old Astros jerseys.
Yeah, right. But it didn't matter. Nobody cared. Now the Nuggets jerseys are like super cool. They're super hip. And what you're wearing as far as gear goes makes a big difference too. Sorry to
interrupt. Is Draymond Green the biggest steal of what soon will be last year's draft?
Draymond Green from Michigan State.
He played a huge role this year for the Warriors.
Yeah, I
believe he was picked in the 40s, maybe.
You have to have quality, hardworking guys. The Roni Turioffs on the Clippers. Like I picture a lot of guys who are hardworking role players. It's actually something the Lakers
guys
didn't
who
have
played
any
4 years.
The Lakers had zero of those this year on their team. And it's one of the reasons why they didn't have the success that they've had in the past. The Warriors have guys who are young, springy. A little bit athletic and a lot tough. Michigan State guys play football in the offseason. Like they strap on pads and do like tackling drills.
Now that kind of raises up a good point because I believe Turioff played 4 years at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Draymond played 4 years at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And the guys like JJ Redick, who's a great big role guy, played 4 years at Duke.
Yeah.
Are the best role players in the NBA 4 year guys?
Not necessarily. They're guys who can accept their roles. Shane Battier is another one, right? He's a four-year Dookie. But there's guys like Trevor Ariza, who I really liked on the Lakers, who was happy in his role.
Okay.
He was a three-point shooter, a defender. He was long, lanky, springy. And I talk about it all the time. I don't think he's somebody the Lakers should have ever traded out for Ron Artest, a.k.a. MWP. Sure. But there's a lot of guys like that that are maybe guys who've kind of learned to accept their good role as either a shooter or a defender. You know, who are better than say like a Jason Collins, who we talked about earlier, but who aren't, you know, definitely like not the top two or three, four scorers on their team.
So how about Memphis winning
a team with a lot of really good
game five back in LA?
Yeah, that was big.
That was big. So they've won three in a row. I was kind of rooting for the Clippers.
Me too. That's surprising.
I kind of like the Grizzles.
Yeah.
I like Marc Gasol.
I'm surprised.
I like a lot of those players on that team.
Conley is a lot better than you think he is.
A lot better.
when he came out at Ohio State, I just thought, that guy's garbage. I mean, no offense to him as a player, but
he's just not going to make it.
I thought it was too early. And I thought it was the same with Drew Holiday has been really good.
Sure.
You know who another team? So the Memphis has a lot of good role players. Another team who has a lot of good role players is the Bucks.
They do.
Bob Mute.
I think if
but none of them want to be there. Did you hear that story?
Because it's Milwaukee.
They hate their coach.
Oh, yeah.
But I know. That sucks because I agree on give the Bucks a couple years and they're going to be good.
Was that guy named Larry Sanders?
Larry Sanders.
Dude, that guy's a freak. Yeah.
And then what's his name? The shooting big man. He's like the third scorer on the team.
Oh, Ilyasova. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of those kind of good, kind of like the Nuggets did for a while with Gallinari and stuff like that.
Hey,
yeah.
did the Sixth Man Award belong to JR or should that have been Jarrett Jacks?
Did Jarrett Jack come off the bench enough for that? I mean, I know he's starting now.
Isn't the minimum like 50 games? Or
yeah, I don't know. But
I think he was mainly off the bench.
J.R. Smith won it, you're telling me?
J.R. won it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been cool to see Jack get it.
Jack. How about Boston hanging in there? I thought that would be a sweeper, be over in five. But Boston's not quitting.
Going to a game six, huh?
It's going to a game six.
In Boston. Wow.
And Boston, the Celtics won five. In New York. Yeah, they won game five.
Well, the Celtics are KG. And I mean they're KG and they are the mentality of KG.
Yeah, they're KG, I get it. Yeah.
I think I like that.
That's a good wordplay.
I think they're a year behind totally tanking like the Lakers did. And
totally.
I think they've set themselves up with Rondo for a real star for the future, a guy who can really affect the game.
And how freaking good is Jeff Green?
And then there's
We forgot how good that guy was.
Who's that two guard that shoots pretty good? I don't know. They have a young two guard.
They have what's his name? Who's a lockdown defender? Avery.
Avery. Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley. Yeah, yeah. So,
but I've been really impressed with Green.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, he was great at Georgetown.
Well, and I never thought he had the hops to be like a decent four guy, but he's long enough.
He's long.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like a mini, like, and he doesn't have the same game as KG, he's
you were going to say like a mini you.
A mini KG.
What's he on?
Do you think if the Spurs...
He was like a mini me at Coast Union.
If by mini, you mean really big.
Do you
and
think
if by me, you mean actually a lot better.
Do you think if the Spurs make it to the finals, they have a chance to beat Miami?
No. Absolutely not.
No.
I say to stop the playoffs right now and just give it to them. Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody.
What, the one team that everybody was giving a shot was Oklahoma City, and then they lost their second star. Right. Yeah. And then people said maybe New York, and here New York has lost two in a row. Nah,
well, here in game five, the Rockets are up seven at halftime on the Thunder. So
Is this whole New York thing overrated, guys?
No, they haven't won a playoff series in 12 years.
But I'm saying just the...
They haven't won a playoff series
in 12
years. That
amazes me, you know, to really think about it.
And in New York
team. It is crazy.
I'm actually very worried that the Lakers are about to head to that kind of a place, that kind of a dark place.
I don't know if it'll be 12 years. Well,
yeah, 12
that's
years.
What I'm saying. Neither did Knicks fans didn't think that it would be 12 years.
We don't have Isaiah Thomas meddling. Yeah, so.
Not yet.
Isaiah Thompson.
Not yet. Not yet, dude. I'm telling you. It could happen with Jim Buss. I don't know, man. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's overblown, Nuke. I think that they haven't been there in 12 years. I don't know. I think it's exciting for the city like that.
Okay, this is kind of a fun ping pong thing we have going on right now. So let's just not quite end it yet. Is Carmelo the MVP or is that kind of a fad pick?
I didn't see enough of him this year. I feel like he started to actually play some defense and started to get to the hole. He started to find his role because he can score.
I mean, the Knicks did like end up being the two seed, right? They're the second seed, and that's pretty solid.
LeBron's the MVP. Just like and if Carmelo gets it, then it's going to be a lot like when like Shaq didn't win it in any of the Lakers' three championship years.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, fine. He's LeBron. He's
I heard the greatest comparison was actually MJ. MJ should have won it every year, and then they'd give it to Carmelo in a couple years just to kind of say, we don't want to forget you,
David Robinson. You know? There were some guys who had really good performances, but yeah, I mean, LeBron this year has had an MVP year, no matter what.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Just like I compare LeBron more to Shaq now than anybody else. I think. That's an interesting comparison.
That's weird, and I want to know where that comes from.
It comes from being super dominant physically. It comes from being somebody who's really hard to referee and officiate. He was questioned early in his career, mm-hmm. like Shaq was, and
he was like a 12-pound baby.
Yeah, like a 300-pound baby, right? Yeah.
Well, like a 12-pound baby, like when he first was birthed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
here's Shaq in his car commercials. This car is like what my mom said when I popped out the womb. That's a lot more than I expected.
That's awesome.
Okay, but let's just So the Heat, we know, are the just give them the award or the championship. But
yeah, I think
out of the remaining teams, now,
and good
now
for them.
Oh, okay, so who has them?
Okay,
so
who has the
none of
best
them, chance? Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. So if none of them have
a shot, we're not really giving them a chance.
Who has the best shot?
The Spurs. The Spurs are the best coach
team. Because
they
have the experience,
and they're the best coach team in the NBA. Popovich is.
Yeah.
Popovich learned so much losing to the Lakers early. So, like, they won a couple championships with Robinson and with Duncan. And Phil Jackson kind of dominated him for a couple of series there, kind of right in the middle of their three in a row back in the early 2000s.
I don't ever remember playing them at the end, though. They were always early in the playoffs.
We played them in the Western Conference Finals.
Did we?
In 2002, I think. Mm-hmm. On when it was the year they won like all their games, they swept the first three rounds.
That's right.
Okay.
They played the Spurs and they swept them.
That's
the Spurs
right.
were the one seed and Lakers
that's
were the two
right.
seed.
You guys swept them.
I went to game four that year, and that was the year that Derek Fisher came off his foot injury and shot like amazingly from 3-point land in the playoffs.
Didn't you hit that like ridiculous shot in that series too?
No, that was 2 or 3 years later. Yeah, okay. But this was like
God,
just
I hated that shot. It was the stupidest
four?
Shot ever.
It was
four.
It was 1 a.m.
It was
in Florida,
the luckiest
and I was
shot
watching
ever.
That thing. It was like 1:30 in the morning on a work night, and I was like, wow, it was awesome.
I just wanted people to admit that it was a lucky shot.
It was a great moment.
It was pure skill.
It was just a lucky
of course it was.
Antonio, I've talked to some fans who swear that that was skill. He's a and great
he just,
shooter.
And he just turns and runs into the locker room.
Well, you heard what Shaq said after the game. Did you hear what Shaq said? Because Tim Duncan, if you remember, made this fall away bank shot.
That's right. That was a huge shot,
and
too.
Then he goes, Shaq, what do you think of that? It was pretty lucky. And he goes, well, one lucky shot deserves another.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because that Duncan shot was incredible.
It was.
Yeah. But it was both lucky shots.
Luck and luck.
Both great players, yeah, absolutely. Not that I'm going to put Fisher up with Duncan. But
the only guy who could probably take a shot like that who was a royal guy and we wouldn't think it was luck is like Robert Horry.
Big shot.
Robert could fling something up and it was luck, but maybe Steve Kerr. No, that wasn't luck.
Maybe Steve Kerr.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Bill Hodges.
That'd be a good battle. Like, I'm thinking, you guys, I'm seeing this. Like, I'm seeing this. Like, Fantasmanship.
Luke Longley.
We should have a tournament, though. We should have a tournament of the clutchest role guys. Fantasmanship to kind of create a bracket. And
like a 16-guy bracket.
Do it.
But like the clutchest role guys. So Steve Kerr.
Do it.
You know?
Michael Cooper.
Robert Horry wins.
Robert Horry wins, definitely. But we'll still do it, but he wins.
Well, you'd have to go back to
Mark Elo.
No.
My only memory of him is when Kirk Jordan hit that shot,
and punched him in the face.
What? Kirk could kind of hang in there, maybe go to six games.
Kirk would get to like the final four,
for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So who are the other two?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of guys who've been role players. Was it Bruce Bowen or Mark who made that shot?
But not just like one shot.
Who's the guy that it wasn't Bruce Bowen? It was before Bruce Bowen played for the Spurs.
So they can't be like
he got his appendix.
Mega stars.
He got a kidney taken.
Sean Elliott was very
Sean
clutch.
Elliott. Yeah,
there you go.
Sean Elliott.
Although he was kind of a semi-star, but we'll say he could fit in. I guess.
He's a role player by then.
But he hit a lot of big shots.
You know, I think Cooper for the Lakers hit a lot of big shots.
Did he?
Cooper, Byron Scott.
Byron Scott.
Both of those guys hit a lot of big shots back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Big game James, but he was a star.
He's a star.
He was one
he's got to be a role guy.
He was like the third best player on that team, though.
Showtime
Lakers were awesome.
In fact, there's you can play with the Legends now on NBA 2K.
Video game?
Yes. And I had some battles when I was in training down south, and I was the Bulls with MJ. It was so much fun, right, to play these old school guys. Anyways, James Worthy, they gave him like 110 speed out of 100. You literally can't guard him. Like my buddy would just do like circles around me and then dunk it. Talk about like overinflating like how great a player was. Like
my favorite James Worthy move was when he'd hold the ball out in one hand and just go like this when he was posting guys up. Like my hands are this much
there's
bigger
no
than
way.
Everybody else.
There's no way you're gonna touch this ball.
Resistance is futile.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of others out there.
Well, anyways, you know, it'd be fun to do it, and I think that those few are good. Now, before we leave, you know, we have maybe like one NHL fan in all of San Luis Obispo County. I'm just kidding.
That's me.
That's
I'm the only guy.
I'm just joking. But give us an update on the Kings.
Well,
give us one good minute on
the NHL.
How about the Kings, the Sharks, like those two teams? Because they're both in the playoffs, right?
Right.
Are the Ducks in the playoffs this year?
Ducks are the number two seed.
Okay, those three. Let's do it.
The Ducks are the two seed. They won last night. They're playing the Red Wings. Let me see. The Sharks, excuse me, the Ducks are the one seed. No, Chicago's the one seed. Ducks are two. Sharks are three. No, Sharks are six. Kings are five. So Kings are playing St. Louis, the Blues, in St. Louis. And the Blues scored early. Kings were just getting out-checked, just getting dominated. And then with 30 seconds left, they pulled their goalie and added another guy to go 6-on-5 and scored at the game-tying goal. And they go into overtime, and they're looking good in overtime, and then their goalie, Jonathan Quick, comes out of goal to get a puck that went behind the net. And instead of just flinging it along the sideboards, he hits it right back against the board, so it comes right out in front of the net, and a guy just taps it in.
Oh, man.
And then the game's over. So that was game one. So game two is tomorrow night, and then game three is Saturday back in L.A. So, you know, it's a bad start to a series, but I think the team's going to rally behind him.
Are the Kings going to be a one-title wonder?
You know, hockey's a game where it's kind of a crapshoot once
like
it comes
the NCAA
to the playoffs.
Tournament, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a crapshoot when it comes to the playoffs. So it's possible. I'm not crossing my fingers.
Because they're pretty young, right?
Yeah, well, they do have a lot of young players, and they have a lot of guys that have been there for a good, you know, 6-7 years that are their leaders. And then Quick, last year coming out, is pretty much the best goalie in the NHL. And that run they ran to the playoffs was just epic. I mean, you're never going to see anything like that again. They
were an eight seed, right?
They were an 8 seed. They beat the Canucks in the first round 4-1. Then they swept the Blues. Then they swept the Coyotes and then had to go to Game 6 against the Devils. So that overall they went 16-3 throughout the playoffs as an 8 seed.
Wow.
So you're probably never going to see anything like that again. So.
Yeah, that was big. And I feel kind of bummed that the lockout happened like it did because I feel like they would have got a lot more play this year.
Yeah,
like I totally agree. And I think
so many Kings fans were so mad having to wait to celebrate.
I'll use myself as an example because I've never really watched a lot of hockey. Mm-hmm. And last year after they won that, I still didn't watch much. I watched a little bit in the playoffs. So I watched that run a little bit. Uh-huh. And it was the first time I was a little bit captivated with hockey.
You had a little bit of momentum.
Then the lockout. Exactly. And I'm thinking I would have watched a lot more this year without the lockout.
Yeah. And to have to have a team in a market like Los Angeles, the second biggest media market in like North America, basically, or in Canada and the U.S. combined, to have a team in that market win the championship and then you know, throw rock salt on it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Well, hockey is and always will be a niche sport. So,
there you hockey.
Go. Shall we?
There you go.
Hey, shall we, boys? Andy, I just want to say one thing. Thanks for choosing the podcast over
absolutely
over a Wednesday night wedding.
Wednesday night wedding that I was informed of yesterday that apparently they decided to get married less than a week before that.
Only in Cayugas,
baby.
That's how we do it.
Down by the pier.
Yeah, we're just down by the pier.
Yeah.
We bought the Mickey's Reserve.
Yeah. And you know they're getting married barefoot, right?
By the dolphins.
Yeah, you know it.
And then reception's back at Schooners.
And the one,
just the bar.
And this is the one time, like the one cop in town that's going to like pardon the affair. He's going to be like, you guys just drink all you want on the beach. It's cool. We're not worried here in Cayugas.
Yeah.
You know, Officer Manuelli's cool with it.
Go ahead and start a bonfire if you want. Light off a few fireworks. No big deal.
Oh my gosh. Right on. Well, guys, I'm so glad that we did a podcast.
It was good.
And, a couple things, a couple notes. Stay tuned. This weekend is the Cal Poly spring football game. There's four quarterbacks, in one position. Who will get it?
I saw that graphic that they did.
It's
true. Vying for one.
Seriously, there are four quarterbacks, and there's no clear front runner. There's not even like a top two or three. It's like a total toss-up grab bag. It's going to be really fun.
Okay.
Four candidates.
So I'll have
one desire.
Pablo Francisco. I'll have
you a choose. Couple of the heartbeat that was good.
So we'll have some coverage of that. I'm going to interview Katie Ryan tomorrow from the line of scrimmage,
Ryan.
And I'm going to interview Scruggs, I think, next week for.
Hey, we got to get CJ in here one of these days.
Yeah, we got to figure that out somehow. Maybe once it's a nursery.
There you go.
And we got to
look a lot better than it looks now.
And for all you listeners, we got to get some of our phenomenal writers on here too.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna try to get Trent and Matt on. Maybe Matt next week. Levine,
let's do it.
And Trent is actually gonna do a lot of coverage, multimedia wise, of the spring game. So we'll probably look for some video of that.
Cool.
Yeah, that should be good. And we'll try to get the guy from Oregon as well.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're expanding.
Oregon.
Oregon. The
fanship has gone to Oregon.
The Beavs.
Mm-hmm. We're like a slow-moving virus.
In their new Streamline logo, did you see the new Beav?
Yeah, I saw Petros with the hat.
That thing looks like it's racing down the road. I didn't know Beavers were that fast.
They are in the water. They're like ducks. They're like two out of three modes of transportation.
Well, see, the Beav can't fly. That's right. The duck can fly, swim, and walk. It's the most versatile animal in all of the animal kingdom.
Cannot most birds do that? Cannot most birds fly, swim, and walk? Yes. Seagulls can do that too.
Well, then I've never said a bad thing about a seagull. Yeah, right.
Right on.
All right, guys.
It's been fun.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in trouble town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up. front page of the news. Keep trying to find my way back home, but the signs have